شرعي لا يجب تنزيله في غير مجاهد. والله تعالى أعلم.
The chef answers this question by saying, as for organizing and having someone from the students of knowledge who will answer their questions when they are in need of having them answered, or someone who they can return to and learn points from the Quran and Sunnah from, then this is something that is permitted and asked for. But as for finding someone and giving them allegiance and giving all your total loyalty to him, ordering what he does, doing what he orders, all the time and not going against it, and giving bay'ah or pledges of allegiance, this is something that is not found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There must be a clear distinction that is made between managerial skills and leadership or amir skills. To have a manager who runs the organization, the money, the things like this, this is something that is asked for. But to have someone who you are giving pledges of allegiance to, ordering what, doing what he orders and things like this, this is something that is not found in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear Sheikh, how would you advise the believers to deal with the leadership in the masajid with regard to compromising in the sunnah? Example, allow a woman to come to the masjid with their hair uncovered, or people allowed to take pictures in the masjid, and issues like this, jazakumullahu khaira. ما نصيحتكم لنا حول الأئمة في أمريكا المتساهلين؟ أوكي. الذين يؤمنون في تطبيق السنن متساهلون هؤلاء يسمحون للنساء أن يأتون للمسجد متبرجات واتخاذ التصوير في المسجد كذلك. ما نصيحتكم لهم في هذا التعاون مع هؤلاء الأئمة؟
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه. أما بعد، لا شك أن هؤلاء الأئمة مخطئون أيما خطأ في هذا التصرف، أن يأذنوا لهؤلاء المتبرجات في دخول المسجد على هذه الصورة، وكذلك التصوير في المسجد، فكل هذا من المنكرات التي ينبغي نهيهم عنها لمن قدر على نهيهم، وعلى من استطاع منعهم أن يمنعهم إذا كان صاحب سلطان أو ذا نفوذ في ذلك المكان يجب عليه منع مثل هذه المنكرات. وأما إذا كان هو من عامة الناس فلا يملك إلا النصيحة، لا يملك إلا أن ينصحهم و أن يستعين بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى بمن له نفوذ عليهم. ويعني هؤلاء الناس نحن لا نحاسب عنهم، وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأئمة: يصلون لكم فإن أصابوا فلكم ولهم وإن أخطأوا فعليهم، فمهما كانت ذنوبه أو بدعه فلنا صلاته وعليه أخطاؤه وذنوبه وبدعه، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم. وأيضا من الأشياء الطيبة التي ينبغي فعلا أن نتذكرها ونذكركم بها: عليكم بالرفق في الأمر كله، فإن الله رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمر كله، وما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه، وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. فربنا سبحانه يقول: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. فيكون هذا كله بالمعروف، الأمر بالمعروف يكون بالمعروف، والنهي عن المنكر يكون بغير المنكر، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh answered the question by saying, these imams, they have clearly fallen into error for allowing such transgressions to be performed in under their leadership in this masjid or these mosques. And this is something that they must forbid. But as for the person who has the authority to change it, someone is on their who is in their organization and has the word and the power to force the change, then he must do so. But if the person who is noticing these sins that are being committed is from the general public, just the people who come and pray and have no say in the mosque, or in the organization, then for such a person, it is important that he is just to give sincere advice and to educate the people. And he is not to try to change in other manners, for this may cause more problems than solve. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, in praying behind such people and taking them in front of us, he says, when you pray behind a person who is a sinner from such people, your prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the sins that he commits will remain for him. You will not receive the sins because you have prayed for salah behind him. While your prayer is accepted, his sins will be taken for him alone. And you must know that you are not held accountable as long as you do your duty of ordering what is good and forbidding what is evil. And it is important to focus that this ordering of what is good is to be done with risk, with kindness and ease. It is not to be done with harshness. So as the Sheikh points to us out, that never is kindness and ease added into something except that it will make it even easier. And never is kindness and ease extracted away from something except that it becomes more difficult and harder to overcome. And therefore the Sheikh says the advice must be given with good advice, and that the forbidding of evil must be shown as to why it is to be forbidden and explained. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
My dear esteemed Sheikh, Allah has blessed my family with a female child, alhamdulillah. We also have sons too. My question is, what is my husband's responsibility towards my new baby girl? Because he believes that he is more responsible towards his son. He is more responsible towards his sons. Is this the correct way according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If not, please give us some nasiha. Should he be more caring about his sons? لا بد من العدل بين الأبناء ذكورا وإناثا، وبالتالي فواجب تحصيل تربية البنت كما هو واجب تماما تحصيل تربية الابن. ولكن قد يكون هنالك شيء من الإضافة أو مزيد من العناية بالولد، كونه سيكون رجلا يرافق والده في عمله، يكون قويا يدربه ليقوي بدنه أو إلى آخره. هذا أمر ليس له علاقة بقضية التربية التي يجب أن تكون متساوية بين الذكر والأنثى. وما زاد للولد فإنه خارج من هذا الباب على أو إلى ما ذكرت. والله أعلم.
The Shaykh Hafidhahu Allah, he says, in the beginning it is to be noted that justice is to be given to both, and each is to be given, whether the child is a boy or a girl, they are to be treated fairly and equally by the parents, whether a boy or girl. And it is compulsory to educate and to teach and to give the proper tarbiyah to the girl as you would give to the boy. Yet the Sheikh points out that the father may give more increasement in advice and in training, physically, mentally, and things like this to the boy, because the boy may be holding the burden of what will come later for the family, of what will happen later for the family, working in the businesses or things like this. So this may be the reason that the husband is stressing on the boy more than the girl. Wallahu ta'ala.
وإن يذكر الوالد بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم،
وإني أذكر إخواني بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كانت له ثلاث جواري فأحسن تربيتهن فدخل الجنة. فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وجاريتان؟ قال: وجاريتان، ولو سأله واحدة لقال: وجارية. فإخواني لا تنسوا هذا المعنى العظيم، إن تربية البنات وإحسان تربية البنات هن كما يقولون نصف المجتمع، بل في الحقيقة هم أساس المجتمع، لأنهن الأمهات التي يربين الأولاد.
Sheikh Waleed increases by saying, let him remind us of the Prophet's hadith, which is authentically reported, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who raises and educates properly three of his daughters or three girls with proper care, for him his reward is the Jannah. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what if it is two, and he treats them fairly and educates them rightly? The Prophet answered them, he said, for the raising of two, the reward is Jannah. And the narrator of the hadith said, if we would have asked him for one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have said the Jannah. So therefore it is important to know that the pillar of the community is the Muslim woman, and they are the future that we build, and the stepping stone, the cornerstone of righteous societies. Wallahu a'lam.
That's good, stepping stone and the cornerstone. A woman's obedience lies first and foremost to her husband, I understand that, rather than her parents, after she is married. If her husband calls her while she is in sunnah prayer, should she leave the salah? How should the Muslim man behave when his wife is not in agreement, when he wants to take another wife? Jazakallahu khairah. Abu Hatim. تسأل السائلة: how does the Muslim man behave when his wife is not in agreement, when he wants to take another wife?
يعني كيف ينبغي أن يكون خلقه إذا كانت زوجته تخالفه في كونه يريد أن يتزوج عليها؟
يعني كيف هي ولا هو؟
هو وهي اثنين في خير. السؤال عنه هو، ولكن نحن نسأل الاثنين كيف ينبغي أن يكون أخلاق الاثنين.
أنصح هذه الزوجة أن تتأدب وأن تطيع زوجها وأن تحسن رعايته وأن تتبعل إليه وتتودد إليه وتتلطف إليه حتى يمشيه الله الأخرى. فإن الرجل يعني أصر عليها إلا إذا كان له هذا وظل متذكرا، فأسأل الله أن يسعده من الاستقامة. لكن أريد أن أبين قضية يا إخواني، هذا الشريعة لما باحت الزواج من الثانية فهو لحكمة بالغة ولحكم عظيمة. وإذا الإنسان وجد في نفسه أو تجد المرأة بطبيعة المرأة تجد في نفسها حرجا من هذا الأمر نظرا للغير، يجب عليها أن تصبر وأن تتخذ الأسباب التي تستطيع أن تصبر بها نفسها، ومن ذلك أن تحسن رعاية زوجها. فإذا حصلت هذا الأمر فإن يجب أن تكون عاقلة، لأن بعض النساء عقلهن ضعيف، إذا حصل هذا الأمر جعلت هذا هو مبدأ المفاصلة. هذا أمر. الأمر الثاني أحب أن أؤكد أن كثير من الرجال للأسف يستخدم هذا الأسلوب فقط التنكيد على زوجته، كل ما صار شيء قال بتزوج عليك، ترى باخذ ثانية تأدبي ولا ما، هذا ما يصير. الواحد يجب أن يكون يعني لا يتخذ الشريعة هذه من أسباب تبغيض النفس، أداة يعني ضغط على المرأة، هذا مو بأسلوب صحيح أن تتخذ ما شرعه الله بهذا الأسلوب لترضي به يعني أمرا في نفسك. لا، الواجب عليك إذا كنت تبغى تتزوج جزاك الله خير وعزمت ورأيت أن هذا مناسب لك، أبدا تروح وتوكل على الله تتزوج، وبعدين تعال علمها أنها تتزوج كيف تزوجت وخلاص.
وخليك مع عدنان التوحيد.
بشاف the Shaykh حفظه الله answers by saying, first speaking to the Muslim woman, let her be obedient to her husband, treat him with respect, be kind to him, show him affection and love, help him to reach justice and to know that you and him are a unit and that you are working together for Allah. And it is important to know that any woman will be envious and will not like such a situation, and that a person must learn to be patient and to overcome such trials and tribulations. As for the Muslim man, it is to be addressed to him the fact that we know that many men take this as a way of punishment to their wife, or as a way of correcting their mistakes by saying, if she does something wrong or angers him, I'm going to take another wife. And this is playing with the laws of Allah. And this is something that is not permitted. This is something that is not permitted. And from this reason you find that there are a great deal of oppression that is going on. As the final conclusion, the Sheikh gives the advice by saying, if the person is adamant that he will be married, he may do so without informing his wife and then inform her later on.
Is bodybuilding haram in Islam? Because bodybuilding develops the muscles and you look different. So is this from the taghyir of the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? التدريب في الحديد لأن نعم هل هذا حلال أو حرام؟
هذا حلال بشرطين. الشرط الأول ألا يكون فيه كشف للعورات، والشرط الثاني ألا يكون آخذا للأوقات.
The chef says in regards to bodybuilding, it is something that is halal as long as two conditions are met. First, that the person must cover his awrah at all times, and this must be something adhered to. Second is that the person must not waste his time and be consumed in this and become addicted to such a thing.
هذا السؤال للشيخ علي. Is it true that some of the Sahaba were married 60, 70 or even 80 times? How do we understand this type of action, and why did they get married so many times? هل ورد أن بعض الصحابة تزوجوا 60 أو 70 حتى 80 مرة؟ وإن كان هذا صحيح فكيف نفهم هذه الفعل منهم؟
أولا ذكرت يعني آثار متعددة في هذا الباب، بعضها في الزوجات وبعضها في الإناء والسراري. فإذا كان الأمر متعلقا بالإناء والسرار فهو سهل وواضح، وأما الزوجات فإذا كان الرجل تزوج المرأة وأعطاها ما استحل به فرجها فيجوز له ذلك سواء أطلقها أم أبقاها، بشرط ألا يجمعها أكثر من 4 عنده في ذلك، والله أعلم.
وإن كان نيته، إن كان قصده أن يتزوج ثم يطلق ويتزوج ثم يطلق وهو هكذا، هل هو مزواج؟ هذا الذي يريد، هل هذا يجوز؟
هذا لا دليل يحرم ذلك، وخاصة إذا عرف أن هذا الرجل مزواج، فمن تزوجته تعرف أنها تزوجت رجلا مزواجا، وبالتالي ليس هو غاشا لها ولا موقعا إياها في حرج ولا في عنف. استحل فرجها بكتاب الله بمهر سماه، فحينئذ له ذلك دون تحريم شرعي، والله أعلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله answers this question by saying there are some narrations that have been narrated in regard to this about some of the Sahaba taking many wives. This is to be understood that some were wives officially and others were concubines. As for taking wives, this is something that is halal as long as not more than 4 at one time. Having more than 4 wives at one time, as long as the Sharia and the contract and the things have been adhere to. Sheikh Abu Usama asked the Sheikh by saying, what about now if we know that a person gets married and divorces many, many times, and this is his habit? The Sheikh Habibullah answers by saying, as long as the contracts are being adhered to, and the woman obviously knows that this is a person who may have been married before and before and before, so she knows what to expect. She may know already what to expect, and this is something important to reflect on when choosing the husband or the wife. As long as the mahr is fulfilled and the contract is fulfilled, and he says the word of Allah and takes her as his wife, she is his wife. If he divorces her, this is his decision. Wallahu a'lam.
This is the last question to our beloved, respected Sheikh Abu Hatim, and then after that we're going to come back to the Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman. Dear Sheikh Abu Hatim, would it be better to seek knowledge first and then get married, inshallah, or vice versa? Because it seems it would be difficult to do both at the same time. Also, I've been trying to go to seek knowledge, but I've been disappointed by empty promises. What do you advise?
وآخر فقرة السؤال, إذا وجد الأبواب موصدة فعليه أن يتقي الله ما استطاع وأن يفعل المستطاع, والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The chef answers the question by saying, in regards to giving an answer to this directly, you have to look at the different points on the structure of the person himself. If the person does not know the basics of his deen, he may remain unmarried until he knows what is enough for him, and then he is to marry. Otherwise, he may marry before he learns the fullness of Islam and goes out seeking knowledge. In regards to going and finding that the doors of knowledge are closed or that he is disappointed, this is something that is faced by all the students of knowledge, and that a person must be patient and fear Allah and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps those who fear him and opens the doors to them. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, we have two questions here, and we're going to end with these two questions. The first question is it okay to wear colored contact lenses? Will your eyes become blue or green? The contact lenses that are colored.
Hi there, Sheikh. هذه العدسات الملونة طالما أنها ليست عدسات ثابتة على العين, فالذي أظهر لي والله أعلم هو جوازها إلا في حالة غش الخاطب إذا أراد أن يخطب زوجته فيرى عينها خضراء في ليلة الخطوبة ثم سوداء في ليلة الزواج.
The chef answers by saying, as long as the contacts are not permanent, it is permitted to wear them if they are a different color, as long as they're not permanent. The only one condition that must be followed is that if you are going to get married, do not wear them so that you may be cheating the spouse or the future groom or wife-to-be. So this is an important issue, so that there's no cheating or doors are not open that may fall later into evil. Wallahu a'lam.
This sual is to the Sheikh Abu Hatim, inshallah, and it's our last question. It's in Arabic. The lady said, أَنَا أُمْ وَيَرَدُ فَرَى قَلْبِي وَهُوَ مُتَزَوْلُجْ مِنْ إِمْرَأَةِ الْأَمْرِكِيَّ مُسْلِمَةَ وَهُوَ لَا يَهْتَمُّ بِهَا وَأَنَا لَا أَعْرِفَ الْإِنْجْلِيزِيَةَ وأعيش وحدي ومريضة, فما يعني الذي أحتاجه هو فقط سؤاله علي, وإن لم يكن هو فزوجته. الرجاء قدموا نصيحة لبر الوالدين وبينوا إقاب الجاهد لوالديه. هذا وجاء من قلب مجروح, وجزاكم الله عنا كل خير. يا شيخ أحتاج أن أترجمه. They said, this woman said, this mother said that I am a mother and my son is really hurting my heart. And he's married to a Muslim woman who is from America. She's an American Muslim woman. And he doesn't pay any attention to me. And I don't know English. And I'm living here in America by myself and I'm sick. All I need, the only thing that I need from him is that he asks about me. And if he can't ask about me, for his wife at least to ask about me. All I hope from you, Sheikh, is that you put forth some advice about the importance of respecting the parents and you explain the evil consequences of the one who refuses their parents. This comes from a person whose heart is wounded. So may Allah Ta'ala reward all of you with all that which is good.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه. أما بعد, فهذه رسالة, هذا ليس سؤالا, هذه رسالة من أم تشعر بالحسرة على حال ولدها الذي ينتظر منه أن يبرها وأن يحسن إليها وأن يسأل عنها وأن يتفقد شؤونها, وبخاصة وهي مريضة وفي هذه السن الكبيرة وهي لا تحسن العربية, فقد لا تجد حتى من يتكلم معها أو يؤانسها. فهذه حال لا شك أنها حال يحزن لها القلب وتدمع لها العين, ولا شك أن هذا الولد محتاج إلى أن يذكر بالله عز وجل, فالوالد أوسط أبواب الجنة, من شاء أن يحفظه حفظه ومن شاء أن يضيعه ضيعه. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وصى بالأم خيرا كما هو معروف, لما سأله الصحابي من أحق الناس بحسن صحابتي, قال أمك, قال ثم من, قال أمك, قال ثم من, قال أمك, قال ثم من, قال ثم آباك ثم أبناك أبناك, أو كما قال صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. فهنا حفظكم الله, الأم لها حق كبير, لها حق عظيم. والإنسان إذا أدرك والديه أحدهما أو كليهما فهذه فرصة لا تعوض. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, رغم أنفه ثم رغم أنفه ثم رغم أنفه, قالوا من يا رسول الله؟ قال من أدرك أبويه أحدهما أو كليهما ثم لم يدخله الجنة, أو كما قال صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. فنحن نصف الأبناء عموما, طبعا لا ندري إن كان ابن هذه السائلة موجودا أو يسمعنا أو لا, ولكن كلنا إن شاء الله نذكر بهذا. فنحن أبناء, ومن أدرك منا والديه أو واحدا منهما فهذه فرصة عظيمة, اغتنمها قبل فوات الأوان. وهناك أناس ما عرفوا حق الوالدين إلا بعد وفاة الوالدين وندموا على ذلك ندما عظيما بعد فوات الأوان. فبارك الله فيكم, أسأل الله أن يجعلني وإياكم ممن يبرون الوالدين, والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
أمه التي حملت, أقول لك شيئا حدث في بلد من بلاد المسلمين, وهو أن امرأة أتي بها في بلد أعرفه, أتي بامرأة على باب السوق ووضعت, فجلست المرأة ولاحظتها إحدى الأخوات الطيبات على باب السوق حتى طلعت من السوق في آخر الوقت, فوجدت هذه المرأة فأسألتها, قالت لها يا خالة, يعني يا خالتي, ماذا تعملين هنا؟ فقالت انتظر دوري في المستشفى. قالت اي مستشفى؟ قالت اليس هذا هو المستشفى؟ قالت لها لا, ما قال لك هذا؟ فقالت لها ان ابني سألت, كنت مريضة, فقال سأذهب بك الى مستشفى وتدشين فيها, فاجلسها في باب ذلك المجمع للاسواق كبير, وهي عجوز لا تعرف شيئا, لا تعرف المدنية. فقالت, فعلمت الأخت
أن هذا الولد عاق لأمه، فأخذتها فرفضت أن تذهب معها إلى البيت، وقالت بل دليني على مكان أمثال يذهبون إليه، فأخذتها إلى دار العجزة، ثم أصبحت في صبيحة اليوم الثاني ميتة، وقد صلينا عليها الجنازة في صبيحة اليوم الثاني. والله لا أدري كيف سيقابل ربه والد ابن هذه الأم، أسأل الله أن يغفر لجميع المسلمين.
The conclusion of our discussion with this, as the chef points out, this is a letter, it is not actually a question. This is something that is expected from the person who this mother is writing about, that he is to be dutiful to her and to take care of her, not because she is his mother, but also because she is old, a stranger in a country that she speaks, does not speak the language of, and she is also sick. All of these are things that come into play. The Sheikh says, wallahi, the eyes well up with tears and the heart is cut in half when he hears such stories about what people and especially parents are going through. The Sheikh points out that the parent is the door or one of the doors to the Jannah, and that you must use it as a way, a stepping stone to get into the Jannah, and you must use it as a path to lead you to the Jannah. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stressed especially the mother, not just the parents, but especially the mother, when he was asked, who should be the most close to me in companionship? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the mother, the mother, the mother, three times, as we all know the hadith. And finally he said, the father sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This mother, she is deserving of more than this. She is deserving of righteousness and duty that must be given to her. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if you find one or more in their older age, that you should be dutiful to them and not even give them a sign of your displeasure with them. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who does not earn the Jannah while his parents are living, surely he has lost, surely he has lost, surely he has lost. Also, you must know that it is a great way and a great chance for you while you are living and your parents are living to use it to enter the Jannah. For this is a way for you to earn as many of your good deeds as you can before the time is taken away from you. The Sheikh narrates to us a story of something that he has gone through in one of the communities, where a Muslim woman was dropped off by her son at one of the local malls in the city where he lives. And she was dropped off at the door and she sat on one of the benches inside the mall near the door. And a Muslim woman early during the day came and found her sitting. And while she was leaving, at the end of the day, she still found her sitting. And when she came to her and she asked her, what are you doing here, my aunt? What are you sitting here for, my sister in Islam? She told her, I'm waiting for my turn to go to the hospital. She told her, but there is no hospital here. She then told her that her son had dropped her off and told her that this is the place where you wait for your turn to be taken to the hospital. So the woman right away knew that this lady, this mother, is being mistreated, and she offered to take her with her to her home, but she refused and told her to drop her off at one of the senior citizen places. When she was dropped off there the next morning, the news came that she had passed away. And then the sheriff found out that they did not have the ability to pray Salat al-Janazah except the second day. The Sheikh says, how can such a person face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after doing this? So here we conclude.
هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إن شاء الله تعالى إخوانك ومن is present here today, you don't know if she's here because the question came in Arabic. she has, alhamdulillah, brothers to her son, who are like her sons, and she has nephews and daughters and nieces. So if she's here, all she has to do is make her situation known to the people in this community, inshallah, there will be those people who will step to the plate and deal with her, giving her her rice, inshallah. So the next talk we're going to have is going to be at 9 o'clock, bidn Allah ta'ala, right here in the Mendoza place. So, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah Most High from the evils of our own selves and from our own wicked deeds. Whomsoever has been guided by Allah, none can misguide him. And whomsoever can have been guided or misguided by Allah, none can guide him. I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. I further bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his true worshipper and messenger. May Allah, the Exalted, bestow his peace and blessings on the final Prophet Muhammad, upon his good and pure family, and upon all of his noble companions. يقول المولى عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you who believe, fear Allah by doing all that He ordered and abstaining from all that He forbade, as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam, meaning as Muslims with complete submission to Allah alone. This is in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, Surah 3, or Chapter 3, Ayah, Verse 102. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, be beautiful to your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from them both scattered many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and not to cut the relations of the womb, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever a watcher over you. This is in Surah 4, verse 1, Ayah 1. Further, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. All you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he verily has got a great success. This is in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, Ayah 71 and 70 and 71. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. It proceeds then that the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah praise be upon him and also his peace be upon him. And the worst of evils are innovations which are foreign to the true teachings of Islam. And every innovation in religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a dalala, misguidance. And that dalala leads to hell. This is an attempt to provide an understanding of the concept and the meaning of the declaration of At-Tawheed, Al-Shahadatan, which says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his true slave and messenger. All brothers and sisters in Islam need to increase their knowledge about Allah so that they know him better, and thus worship him in the way that is accepted by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most glorified and exalted he is. I hope that this material helps every Muslim to understand his role as a worshipper of Allah. I ask Allah to accept this effort and to forgive me if I have said anything wrong. The first that we deal with is the declaration itself. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What does it really mean? This is the first principle in the belief in Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Allah is one in His Lordship, in His Rububiyyah, one in His Godhead, in Godhead, Uluhiyyah, and one in His actions and names and attributes. And that He is one in His actions and names and attributes, meaning he is one in his asma wa sifat wal af'al. Nothing is like Allah. When someone accepts Allah as the only true God who deserves to be worshipped, he must negate all worship to anyone or anything other than the worship of Allah. This is the meaning of the declaration that there is no God but Allah. It is composed of negation and confirmation phrases. The phrase "there is no God" negates all false deity, while the phrase "but Allah" confirms that Allah is the only true God who deserves to be worshipped. Allah is all just and all wise. He created us and wants us to know Him and worship Him alone. He does not leave us without guidance. This is part of His mercy. He, most glorified and exalted, sent messengers and prophets to convey a single message. All nations must submit to the will of their Creator and worship Him alone. This is the essence of Islam. It is the same message delivered by Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and finally to mankind by Muhammad, peace be upon them all. These messengers and prophets were created human beings. Emphasize, created human beings. They were not divine. In fact, in the final revelation to all mankind, which is the Quran, man is called to testify that there is no true God but Allah, and Muhammad is the true messenger of Allah. Once you become a Muslim by declaring this shahadatan, you must know that it becomes the key to Al-Jannah, that the declaration becomes a key to Al-Jannah, to paradise. This key has its own teeth, which represents the elements to the declaration of Tawheed. And these elements are seven, and they are essential to the functioning of this key to Al-Jannah, to the functioning to At-Tawheed, to the functioning of the declaration of At-Tawheed. The first element is knowledge. And knowledge is against ignorance. Knowledge about whom we are worshipping and about the nature, concepts and methodology of worship are critical for the practice as well as the understanding of Islam. The highest form of knowledge is the one that leads to complete dissociation from false deities and to the devotion of intentions to Allah alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about it, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ. In Surah Muhammad, Ayah 19, the translation of the meaning, and know that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins, and also for the sin of believing men and believing, women. And Allah knows well your moving about and your place of rest in your home. This is Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, Ayah 19. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Hadith sahih, rawahu Muslim. He who died knowing fully well that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, entered al-Jannah, paradise. Certainly, against any kind of doubt, it requires that the shahadatan be said with certainty, that there should be no kind of doubt or suspicion regarding the meaning of the shahadatan. So it has to be made without any suspicion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. Only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and never since doubted. This is in Surah 49, Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 15. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله لا يلقى الله بهنا عبد غير شاك فيحجب عن الجنة. حديث صحيح رواه مسلم. I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and I am His messenger, the slave of Allah who would meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala without harboring any doubt about this shahadatan would enter al-Jannah. This hadith was collected by Imam Muslim. So the second, therefore, element to the declaration of a shahadatan is certainty. And the third element is purity of worship, the purity in the declaration. The intention of accepting Islam and performing all acts of worship must therefore be purely devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول مولى عز وجل قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. Say, O Muhammad, and this is in Surah Al-Zumar, Surah 39, Ayah 11, verily I am commanded to worship Allah alone by obeying Him and doing religious deeds sincerely.